Tonight's reading is from the first epistle of the Apostle John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Let me add my welcome to Larry's this Christmas Eve. What a joy to be together. Let's turn and pray. Lord God, as we think about love tonight, as we think about what it means for you to send your Son, we ask that you would shine the light of your love into our hearts tonight, that we would understand how great your love is. Father, please help us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what you've done this afternoon, how you have celebrated. Christmas is a time for love. We know that, don't we? Families put aside arguments at Christmas time, sometimes. We sit around the same table to eat food. You can walk around the Christmas markets, not now, but you could, and find lots of heart-shaped Lebkuchen. There is that famous story of the ceasefire in the First World War back in 1914 between Germany and the Allies. British and German troops laid down their weapons. They crossed into no man's land. They exchanged gifts, they exchanged food, they sung carols, they even played football together. Christmas is a time of love. And the reason for that is because Christmas is all about love. We're going to take a few moments tonight to look at that from that reading Larry read for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. We hear these words Larry read right at the beginning of the service. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Christmas is a time of love because it tells us that God loves us. God has loved us. But whatever you might think or feel about God, you might think he is distant, far off, far too busy with other things to notice little old me. We live in an infinity of space. We are one planet amongst billions. I'm just one person on this one planet amongst billions. Or maybe you look back over 2023 and you think, how on earth, if God is there, how on earth has he loved me this year? Maybe it's been a year for you that you would rather forget. How on earth can we say God loves us? Well, the Bible's claim is that God has done so. He has loved us objectively, definitively, one time, in a deep way, in a way that truly shows God cares for you infinitely. It is not a new emotion or a new instinct for him. It's not something he feels sometimes. It flows directly out of who he is, because 1 John 4 verse 8, God is love. I've been married for 16 years now, and I'm still learning how to love my wife. I know that Gabby loves flowers, but it took me several years to work out that she hates lilies. And I need to buy her roses. We got there in the end. Love is not something that God needed to learn. Love isn't something that God does sometimes. It doesn't come and go. He always thinks and acts in love. It is who he is. God is love, and God has loved us. If love is not at the center of who we think he is, then we have not begun to understand who God is. God is love, and God has loved us. How? 1 John 4 verse 9. By sending his Son into the world. An act in history. At that first Christmas, God came into the world, became a man. Jesus Christ was born. And when we hear about babies, it can feel warm and fuzzy. Here is a story of young love. Born to a couple full of love and hope. Laid in a manger, the stars shining in the sky, saying he has been born. Angels are there singing his praises. Shepherds and kings visit him, and 2,000 years later, we still celebrate this birthday. But amongst all the romance, maybe, or the Christmas card picturing that you have of it, this is no normal birth. This is God, true God from true God, light from light, begotten, not created. God taking on a human nature, the infinite taking on a finite form. About a month ago or so, I was reading in the paper about an American gentleman called Jeffrey Holt. I don't know if you might have seen that story. He passed away in November, and in his will, he left a fortune to his hometown. $3.8 million. No strings attached. It was for the city council, the town council, to use as they wanted to benefit the residents of the town. But the thing is, it was a complete surprise to everyone. They had no idea that this guy living down the road was sat on a gold mine. He was a caretaker. He lived in a trailer park and a mobile home. He would do odd jobs. He would drive around on his lawnmower. But he didn't need to do any of that. He was a multimillionaire. But he chose to live a humble life. God chose to humble himself, not just by giving up a fortune, but by becoming a human being. The one who holds eternity in his hands, born as a baby, held by hands that he made. God has loved us. He sent his only Son into the world. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human. Tonight you can know objectively, through an act in history, that whatever you might think about God, God loves you. But you might think, okay, what sort of way and how does God love me? It's not just a nice gesture. It's not like a prospective boyfriend or a girlfriend who is putting on their best behaviour, putting in the extra effort to show that they are worth going out with. It's worth getting that date with them. He doesn't do it to make our lives just that little bit better now. Neither was it to show us how we should really live as an example for us to follow. It was both of those things, but far, far more. Not just those things. God loves you. He sent his Son into the world for you and for a reason. He sent him to save you. 1 John 4 verse 9 again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world, that you and I might live through him. So that you and I can spend eternity enjoying him, with eternal pleasures at his right hand and unending bliss in a restored and a renewed creation, in a world where suffering and sickness and sighing and sorrow flee away and are a distant memory. God has loved us by sending his Son to save us. I don't know if you have ever said those words to someone else, I love you. Sometimes it is much easier to say than other times. Hopefully it's not difficult for a husband and a wife to say that on their wedding day. To say, I love you. But what about that person that is difficult to love? Maybe your brother or sister at the Christmas table. You really wish they weren't there this year. Or the aggressive person, that person at work, you're so grateful for a week's holiday now to get away from them. The sort of person you ask them to do a favour for you and they bite your head off. Thing is, for you and I, God's love is completely undeserved. He hasn't looked at us and thought, ah, yeah, that is a good person. That is a person worth fighting for. I like them. He loved us while we were enemies. That is what lies behind that word propitiation. Don't worry if you've not heard it before. Most English speakers struggle to say it, let alone know what it means. It is to do with sacrifice. It is about turning away anger. Redirecting it, just like you might redirect a river that is flowing towards a city, flooding towards a city. We need God's anger to be redirected away from us. But his anger isn't like yours and mine. We might flare up when the shop has run out of the thing you're going to buy as a Christmas present. Or when I heard about this week, happened to some friends, when the removal company cancels on you and refunds you on the Monday, the week before Christmas, when you were meant to move out. God's anger isn't like ours. It is his measured, consistent, right response to evil. See, we deserve war, but God offers us the hand of friendship, a hand of love. God loves you. That is what Christmas is all about. He sent his Son into the world to save you, to atone for your sin, to redirect his anger so that it falls on him and not on you. Jesus' life for yours, his death instead of mine. That is what 1 John 4 tells us. You can tell the seriousness of a crime by the sacrifice that is required to make amends, can't you? If you're late to meet someone for coffee, you might offer to pay for it. I dread to think what the penalty is when you forget to buy your mother a Christmas present. Our sin is so serious that it took a God of love sending his only son into the world that first Christmas to be a sacrifice for you. It's not a pagan sacrifice. I've been listening to a podcast on the Aztecs recently. This isn't just the killing of another human being. This is God himself coming to earth, being born as a human being, dying a criminal's death on a cross, his life for mine, to save us, to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Tonight, if you and I are ever going to understand what love is really all about, we've got to begin to understand why Jesus was born. Christmas exists because of this kind of love. The love that God shows, not to his friends, but to his enemies. The love God shows to those who don't deserve it. The love God showed as he sent his son into the world to save you. This is what love is. That is love. You and I have got to understand that. It costs God an enormous amount, but that is love. It's a sort of love that doesn't just give us a bit of peace and quiet at the Christmas table. It doesn't just cover over a bit of quarrelling. It is the sort of love that will one day make war cease forever. And wonder of wonders, it is the sort of love that turns you and me from being an enemy into a child. God sent his son into the world that you and I might live through him. Maybe you came tonight and you are searching for peace. And maybe you know that this year has been a bit rubbish, that you have done things you wish you hadn't. Things have happened to you that you wish hadn't. Jesus Christ offers you that tonight. He came not with the sword of judgment, but he came born as a baby with a human cry to lay his life down in our place. He offers it to you tonight, on this Christmas Eve of all nights. You can know peace, not just within your own soul, but with your Maker, with the one who sees far more than Santa ever could. As the carol goes, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. God loves you. He sent his son for you to save you. If that is something you want tonight, all you need to do is ask. Ask him to show you mercy. Maybe have a read over those words of confession that we prayed earlier. If you've prayed those tonight, you can know that God forgives you. And you have peace. You have his love. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never really thought about this before and you'd like to find out more. We would love to see you again. We meet here every Sunday at 10 o'clock and 6:30. We have a course starting in January on Monday nights from the 15th of January. It would be great to see you there. It's free. You can come and ask any questions. God has loved you. He sent his Son into the world to save you. Maybe you're here tonight and you are rejoicing at that first Christmas, that you praise God for his love. If that is you, very briefly, we need to love one another. Have a look down at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also need, ought to love one another. Not just those that we find easy to love. Praise God that his love isn't that small. But if we really understand, if we really are going to understand how great God's love is, then that will change us. If we really are children of God, we will want to be like our Father. One writer says this: we owe it to our Heavenly Father, the God who is love, not to slander his name any further by denying his love in our human relationships. Brothers and sisters, if God has loved us, if he has sent his Son to save us, that will drive us to lay down our lives for one another. It will make you and me love in a way that costs us. It means really forgiving one another. It means loving that person at church that you struggle to love. It means genuinely seeking each other's good. It's a tricky thing to do if you keep them at arm's length. Love is the hallmark. It is the family characteristic of those who have been loved by the God who sent his Son into the world. So, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you have shown your love in such an incredible way. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world, that we might live through him. And tonight, Lord, whatever we feel, we ask that you might give us thankful hearts, hearts that rejoice, hearts that wonder at that great love. And so, Father, would that change us? Would you send us out to be people who love one another? Because you have loved us in such an incredible way. And tonight, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.